Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Saturday morning, May 5th, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was the second workshop of our Anchored Revival season, where Pastor Aaron Golden, who pastors New Beginnings Wesleyan Church in New Bern, North Carolina, came and spoke on courage and boldness.
I want to take just a moment while we're inhaling and exhaling. And Jeff, will you just pass the bowl of crosses? I mean, well, they're crosses, but they're anchors. You can always see the cross in the anchor, you know. But everybody, get you an anchor today. We're going to pass them out early because you all are the Dawn Patrol. And I hope there was something that you either heard yesterday at lunch or last night or so far this morning or in the next portions of our day, that when we go to the prayer laboratories, you'll be able to pray over those things. I know that yesterday Pastor Margaret asked a bunch of questions that we should ask ourselves when revival is here, and I've got 7 of those written down, and I plan on praying them again when I go to the prayer laboratories in my own heart. So make note of some of these things that we're hearing. These are beautiful things. And many of the things we've heard can be turned into prayers. Wow. Thank you, Brother Jared. I think it would be good to have a hand for the Word of God and the message. I just had these thoughts on my mind. You might say, where did this format come from? Well, if you like it or don't like it, blame it on Dennis Kinlaw. Because I went to his retreat a few years back, and people would get up, they would do a teaching, they would take a 5-minute breath in between, and then somebody else would come. And it was just something beautiful about it. And the way the things just dovetailed were lovely. So I asked Brother Aaron to come to the pulpit now. And some of you met Brother Aaron Golden last year when he was here with us. His wife, Lene, is with him. Let's welcome them to the Shenandoah Valley. In case you don't know, Brother Aaron's mom and dad were the best of friends to Kim and I, and still are, and we watched him grow up, and to see him love the Lord and bring the Word is just, I can't put it in words. Longevity is the greatest convincer. That's the best thing I know to say. So let's have a prayer for Aaron this morning and ask the Lord to give him the words that we need to hear. Stephanie Schaefer, would you come up and just pray for Aaron? Stephanie leads our Celebrate Recovery group. And I've known Stephanie a long time, but I just kind of getting to know her. Yeah, so I want you to just pray as if you were getting ready to speak. Just pray for Aaron.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this time here on a Saturday morning. And Lord, you're already speaking to us and you're already here. And we're just thankful for that. And I just thank you, Lord, for Aaron and his wife, Lene, who have traveled here to be with us. I just pray, Lord, that he would speak what you have laid on his heart and that he would just find freedom here this morning, Lord, to deliver your word, to challenge us, to help us to grow deeper and to be further anchored in you. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence and that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I asked Brother Jared to speak on servanthood, and I asked Brother Aaron to speak on boldness or courage, whichever direction he wants to take that.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's good to see you. I was a little worried when I went to the restroom with the mic on, because usually that could be disastrous, so I had to double check and make sure the mic was turned off. It's good to be with you this morning, and I know Carrie said take your time, but I have 25 minutes to talk with you as best I can, so I want to make best use of that time. That'd be okay. I am a preacher that wears a watch. I try to stay by it. I learned early on that you should respect others' time. And just because you're excited and want to talk for an hour doesn't mean everybody wants to listen for an hour. So I've been pastoring now for going on, let's see, probably 5, going on 6 years now. And Lene and I, for some of you know, probably from last year, as I shared with you, this year we celebrate 3 years of a church plant in New Bern, North Carolina, which is about 50 miles west of Harkers Island. And it's a big metropolitan city of 30,000 people, which is huge on the lowlands of North Carolina. But for us, the journey, and I think probably why Carrie would ask me to speak, I don't really feel qualified in a lot of ways to speak on courage or boldness, would be because of the bold steps that God led us into planting a church. For a lot of people, church planting seems to be just a place for rebels within church ministry to end up. And I probably would agree in some cases. Those of us that have a hard time and a restless spirit about us, it's something we want to see happen. I think it's really an entrepreneurial mind, and I think in some ways an apostolic kind of calling, not a large A apostle, but a small A. And so when Lene and I were serving in Beaufort, our hometown, at a local church, very much Jared's story reminds me a lot of my own, because I wound up becoming a servant of a people that had served me for so many years. And so we were loved that place, loved the people there, but God had more. He had more for us in our journey. And so that call for us was to leave everything we had known and go to a place where there was apparently nothing. You know, in our minds, there was nothing. There wasn't a people, there wasn't a building, there wasn't anything. I mean, most of us, when we go into ministry, you know, you think you're going to find maybe a church that, you know, need some help, need some service, and you're going to go there and be a part of that. And that does take bold steps. But for us, the bold step was to go where there was nothing. It was like Star Trek. You know, you're going where no one has ever gone before, right? It's what it feels like. So for us, I think oftentimes what I think about courage, I think about, and boldness, I think that it's not, I would describe it like this, it's not a large step. That's what we get concerned with. God, how do I get from A to B? Because I see really C way over there, and it looks like that's impossible, and you know it is from when you're standing at point A. But there's a lot of little steps that gets you there. And that's our faith. You know, you see people and giants of the faith that you've seen for so many years, and you're like, I wish I could be there. And the reality is a bunch of small steps got them there. You just don't become that overnight. And so I think courage is a big piece of that. For me, and walking on the journey for us, just to share with you a little bit of what God's done in our path, at the same time, this past year, we had one of the hardest times of our intimate family, Lene, I, and our kids, as my daughter had surgery on her head when she was only 6 months old to recreate a growth opening in her skull because it was closed too soon. All the stuff that has transpired from that was just crazy for us. And at the same time, to be in a young church that was experiencing a lot of growth of about 200 people being dumped on you in about 6 months, period, it was a pretty stressing and trying time for us the last year. But as we walked out that journey, I think God's continued to move in our hearts from the days when it was just five of us in a little room in the front room of the house to then the YMCA, to then a building that we thought maybe we could spend 2 years in that looks like maybe not going to make it a year in. God has continually moved us toward the direction of taking bold steps and understanding what this means for us. Now, I would say this in a greater piece. I think for us as believers in the church, we need to have clarity as to what it is God is asking us to do. Yes, it's to proclaim the gospel. Yes, it is to call people to Jesus. But I think ultimately the thing that I'm convincingly persuaded by is that God's kingdom reign is the thing that maneuvers and moves us in the whole point of our life. It's the reordering of our life to match that which is in heaven. This is why Jesus presents to the disciples how teach us to pray, and one of the biggest pieces in there is to make earth as it is in heaven. One of the staples, I think, for a lot of places in my life has been to understand that Jesus hasn't just come to save my individual life. He has come to completely restore and reorder the earth in the kingdom reign that it once existed in, as is presented in the beginning of Genesis. It's a whole reordering of our world to match that which existed in harmony as heaven and earth coexisted together in the reign of God. It's a beautiful picture. It's a story that time and time and time again that I tell, that we begin to tell this to others, that they understand and now get to see the big picture of their life. I think for a lot of us, we spend a lot of time of our life wishing we could just get out of this body and into the next life. And that's all great. I mean, we sing about the great by and by, how we wish we could just get from here to there. But the problem is, it's a lot of steps in between the here and the there. Paul writes in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, this reality of 5, 1 through 10. And I'm going to read the whole balance. And today I'm doing a little different because usually I like to exposit Scripture, but I'm just going to talk to you a little bit after I read this. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on the heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Father God, this is your word. And Lord, as you just speak to us this morning, would you move in our hearts in only ways that you can? Would you speak to us in only ways that you can? And Lord, would you just continue to move us forward and lean further in your presence in only ways that you can? We ask that right now in your name. Amen. Did you notice that Paul in the passage, in this particular version, says that we should be of good courage twice? Why should we be of good courage? We should be of good courage, number one, because here is God having done something for us and in us despite our mortal condition. It's a reordering of what we currently experience. Paul says, listen, the things that we experience right now are not fun. Sometimes they seem completely upended. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus and the kingdom restoration that God is doing in our lives completely reorders everything about us. Now, what I'm talking about this morning, I think to a degree, is something that for a long time I had a misconception about, and that was holiness. You see, I think for me in my life, for so long, I'm going to be honest, I resisted what holiness really looked like because I had a misconception of what holiness really is. For me, growing up, holiness meant you dressed a certain way, you spoke a certain way, and you did things a certain way. But what the disconnect for me in holiness, I think for a good portion of my life, was for a greater deal, although I saw it espoused in a good way within some of those that were influential in my life, some of my grandparents and others, I saw them actually live a way of holiness in the midst of this. But a greater disconnect that I experienced was people lived a certain way on the exterior, but the interior of their life was never any different. Never. The things of their life on the exterior, they checked the boxes, but the interior was never any different. So for me, holiness, which is an attribute of God, something that we love to talk about because God continually says 900 times in the Scriptures that I'm holy, be ye therefore be holy as I am. The Psalms sing eloquently about the holiness of God and Him and His character, how He is not like us. He is far different. And because He is not like us, He's calling us to become as He is. In Jesus, we see that He doesn't just set an aloof idea to become as God, but it is God coming to man to make us more in His image, to restore us to the image that once was in Genesis. It's a beautiful piece. You see, for holiness in my life, sometimes it felt like something tacked on the backside of what was a freeing piece of the gospel, but I never saw holiness as seeing it in a freeing piece. I only saw holiness as an enslavement to my life. If I become as Jesus is, then I become enslaved to the things that other people would tell me to do. But as I've grown in the faith, as we have moved and seen God continually do things in people's lives, I have come to appreciate and understand the great call that is a courageous call of holiness. Living far different than what the world lives in. Now, Paul's passage in 2 Corinthians really, I think, points to a theme that 1 and 2 Corinthians has, and some people in here have listened to our series at our church we're doing, but it's a call to live in the inverted kingdom of God. The church in Corinth is experiencing tension in their life because the culture that they have been redeemed out of, now they are called into the kingdom of God, but there's still a yearning and a pull of the culture for them to live as they once did, yet while trying to embrace what God has ultimately done in Jesus. They're riding the proverbial fence, as we would say. Paul's whole letter is to call them back to live in the inverted kingdom of God. It means it'll be completely upside down of what the world looks like. Now for us, that's not just clothing or attire or whether you wear makeup or have a TV in your house. I know this is antiquated in some of our minds, and it is in our culture. That's not the way we talk about holiness anymore. This is different. It's a different time. The way of holiness is the same as it always has been. The way of holiness is what God is doing inside of us that is being manifest towards others in our lives. The thing about holiness is, when we look at the Old Testament, is God is here existing in His temple, His presence. He's calling people into His presence. The priests have to come into His presence. In order to do that, because of His holiness, they go through purification process to enter in His presence, yet lest they may die if they don't. But the whole point that is missed is that when they come in the presence of the Most High Holy God, when they leave, they're to take the holiness with them into the world. To be that representation. Now with Jesus, what He does is He doesn't tell people to come to the holiness of God to go through the ritual purification, but He's there taking the kingdom, reign, and holiness of God in the midst of the culture and the world and the sin. He is there making pockets of reclamation to that which existed in Genesis. Am I preaching a little bit to you this morning? Are you tracking with me? Jesus is carrying the very essence and reclaiming that which was the world, which man has made, not in the image of God, but in His own image. Jesus is there where His presence goes, taking the holiness of God, reclaiming what man has made for evil, and saying it is very good. This is holiness. Holiness is not as much about telling someone what they should do as it is being present in the places they live, work, play, and exist. Holiness is about taking and having the courage to take that which is God into the places that seem ungodly and establishing and recommitting that place back to Him and taking what men have made very bad and saying, no, this is God's. It is good. This is the way of Jesus. I mean, this is why Jesus dies. Is because He would have the audacity to eat and dine with sinners. He would have the audacity to say and claim that He is the Son of God, God incarnate, and He would have the audacity to take that message to those that should be coming to the priest who go to the holiness of God. No, Jesus is taking the holiness of God to men. He's bringing a representation of what Genesis once experienced there with men walking in the garden with God in the cool of the day. His holiness on earth, reigning with His family. Holiness is reclaiming people to the family of God, the whole purpose they were created for. It doesn't mean that we're accepting sin. It doesn't mean that we're just saying, hey, attaboy, Jesus died, everything's okay. That's not what it means. It means that my life is completely ordered in the reign of God so that everything about my life is conducted in a manner of good courage because Jesus is there directing everything in it. You see, my wife and I, we didn't just go to plant a church just because we thought that was the greatest call in our life. No, it was just a simple step, a part of taking good courage because we walk by faith, not by sight. This was what God wanted for the moment. Living in the inverted kingdom of God is not getting the perception that it is large things that need to be done, but it is taking the very minuscule things that most people would never even allow a consideration of and taking to God and saying, God, what would you have me do with this? This is not easy. God, should I drink the cup of espresso from Starbucks today? To which I would say, yes, I should. What would you have me do with that? What would you have me do with the 3 hours I spend every day on this or that? What would you have me do in the relationship that I have operated in and wanted to be in? What would you have me do in that area? This is what I'm saying. It's a whole reclamation of every piece of our life, because God's ultimate reign is the very thing that makes us very good. This is the whole point and attitude of Jesus. This is what I love about the way of Jesus, is that Jesus leaves no end loose. He's tying them all up in His Spirit and presence within us. You see, in the kingdom reign of God, we see that because of Jesus' resurrection, that God's not just saying that your spirit is going to live in the by and by, but He's proving to us that His power will come to resurrect and bring to new life that which He once created and make everything in order with the will and way He made it for. That's the resurrecting power of Jesus. It's not to get you out of here to be with Him as much as it is to get Him in here to be with you. So for me, the courage of holiness is to continue to walk in the places that most people will resist to be. It will continue to be a light that goes into the darkness. I had a conversation with a guy the other day, go figure, in a Baptist church, but interestingly enough, in this man's conversation with me, as he began to tell me, you know, how I should run my church, and which is not my church anyways, and how we should operate and function, and as he doesn't serve anywhere or really go to any church, as far as I know, that was a joke, but it is serious. He began to tell me how the gathering of the saints should not include anyone that is lost. But then on the back side of that, as he gave testimony, he talked about coming to Jesus in a back office of the church, which I was like, so how do you figure that lost people shouldn't be with those that are gathered called the saints if you got saved in a place that people that are saints gather? Anyways, but you understand my thinking here. The separation that God's calling us to is not to be separate like you guys over here and us over here. That's not the separation. The separation is not to withdraw your presence from them, because to withdraw your presence from them, if you have Jesus in you, is to tell them that God's withdrawing His presence from them. That's not the case. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not dismissing in this measure of boldness and courage, that it won't create tension in your life. And I think for some of us, that is what is fearful for us, that it does create tension. How do I maneuver now and stay true to what God's called me to stand firm in the truth, but yet carry His presence there? Can I say this to you, saint? Because that's what you are. You understand that. Saint means holy ones, by the way. Why? Because Jesus is holy. You should embrace the tension. Jesus is greater than the tension. If He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, what should I fear? He has overcome. It's to take the very essence and nature of God from Eden into the rest of the world. There's one book written by Adam Grant. It's not a religious book. I love it because it describes a lot about myself. And it's a, I think it's a Wall Street bestseller or something like that, whatever the big name stuff is. But it's called Originals, How Nonconformists Move the World. How is it the world understands that nonconformists move the world? He goes on this laundry list of these creators of businesses and how they did things that no one else would ever do and thought was ludicrous and insane, but because of their courage to do such, the whole world was changed by it. The world's not changed by people that just go along with the flow and just everything's okay and I'm just going to do what's basic and get by. The world is changed by people that do something radically different than what the rest of the world does. And people may laugh at in the midst of it, but eventually they see the value of it. How is it the world understands that, but the church does not? How do we not understand this as believers, that we're being made as nonconformists to the world? The inverted kingdom of God calls us to not conform as the world is, but to be people on the front lines that live vastly different
than the rest of the world. And the world can't see that if you're sequestered away and separated from the world that you exist in. It is a people that is not conforming to the world, but they're stepping out in the likeness of Jesus, calling the world to live in the kingdom reign as he is. That means not telling them how bad they are, but demonstrating a life for them in the way they should live that calls them to the kingdom reign of God. You see, the thing for me that was so disconnecting was somebody that could check all the boxes on the exterior. They didn't mind cheating someone out of a few bucks. They didn't mind slandering someone else around them. Matter of fact, they liked to slander the other people that were trying to check all the same boxes as they were. This is the issue. God's call for us in his reign to live in the inverted is to not conform to the world, but to continually be conformed and transformed by the renewing of our mind in his likeness. It's a reordering of our entirety according to the order he desired in the beginning. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Holiness, I think, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, is as simple as this: to please God. To please him. To live in a way that every nook and cranny pleases the Most High, the one who has made me for his purpose and his glory and his fellowship and relationship. It's an opening of every piece and saying, I will withhold nothing from you, but I'll give everything to you. I say this to our church, and I'm going to leave you with this time and time again. Jesus will not stop until all of us is filled with all of him. Jesus, we ask you this morning, God, as we step out courageously today and we seek to live in your kingdom reign in the places we live, work, play, and exist. God, would you reorder our world in your likeness? Would you make the world around us become aware of your kingdom presence and reign in and through us? Lord, would the way we live be so radically different that people take notice and see you and see something different that brings life, that is very good. God, would you move in our hearts and lives in such a way that we would trust you so much to bring everything to you? We have nothing to hold from you. Why would we? You withheld nothing when you gave your son to us. So God, I pray today that we would boldly step into your presence. Lord, we would ask your holiness and character and moral compass to guide our lives, that, Lord, you would reorder our life to match that which is yours. We ask this right now in your heavenly name. Amen.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. In this world, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In this world, Lord, be glorified.